When you sow a corn, you sow a physical corn into what? A physical earth. It has physical moisture. It's acted upon by physical sun and it produces a physical fruit for you. If you want to sow a car like that, then dig up your backyard. Drive your Mercedes into it. Cover it and pour water. And wait for the tree that fruits Mercedes to come. You cannot halfway suddenly change the rule. What am I trying to explain? When it comes to the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, you cannot sow physical things. What do you sow? Listen, he that shows mercy shall obtain what? Mercy. Are you seeing? What are the spiritual things you can sow? You can sow love. You can sow faith. God looked at Abraham because of his faith when he sacrificed Isaac. He said, because of this thing that you have done, and that you did not withhold your son, thy only son, from me. Why? Because I asked for him. I gave you a commandment concerning what to do, and you did exactly what I said. What you have sown is called faith. Therefore, in blessing, I will bless you. You can sow faith. You can sow patience. You can prefer one another in love like Solomon did. Did Solomon sow money for God to give him money? No. God gave him the opportunity to become rich. God gave him the opportunity to take the life of his enemies. He said, no, more importantly, is that I'm a good king and I have wisdom and understanding. God said, that is a seed. So you can sow mercy, you can sow faith, you can sow love, you can sow patience, you can sow forgiveness. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? When we are using the types of sowing and reaping, when we are on physical things, please let us limit to physical things. Because you cannot sow your corn into my pocket and expect it to germinate. The principle of sowing corn is dig the earth and pour it inside. The principle of sowing money is different. What you do is you sow something. You can sow love for a prophet. You can sow love for God, which is exemplified as money. That is why it is senseless, all right, for you to say that when you give money, you get money. I saw a man preaching once. He said his wife gave out a lot of underwears. So she got underwears back. I said, Jesus Christ, that is not the gospel. So the more underwears you give out, the more underwears you receive. What kind of joke is that? Why can't God add the underwear together and give you a nice suit? Why give you 4 trailer loads of pattern and brazier? Why can't he not just bring you a nice car as a replacement? I saw it. No, I'm telling you. People say things like this. Say, so I give my offering in dollars. Because I want to receive in dollars. Anyway, you are not going to get anything anyway. So why are we even talking about it? Naira, Japanese yen, even Zimbabwean dollar. Without value. You know, go get. So, what you sow is mercy. This is the point. You can sow mercy by giving money. And God can repay you with mercy by delivering you from death. You can't force God's hands that I have some money, therefore I must receive money. No. 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 You can't do that. You can't say, I need a suit, I give out trousers. Let me tell you something. Anything you can identify that you need, what do? You ask. You don't sow towards it. Let me correct you now. This is the word of the Lord to you, child of God. Anything you ask the Father in my name, that he will give to you. I'm not even saying that I'll ask the Father for you. Jesus said, the Father himself loves you. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Anything you can identify that is deficient in your life, what you need to do is to ask. You don't give towards it. Are you getting my point? You have been giving towards your destiny, it's wasted money. You have been sowing seeds towards your company, it's wasted money. Listen to me, child of God. You don't have the ability to identify what the seed of today will produce tomorrow. God has not given that one to you. He has not given it to me. That's why, let me say it again. Get that message, the switch of God's power. The switch of God's power is the continual doing of good works. Solomon said, sow your seed in the morning. Don't ever stop sowing your seed. Let me tell you something. There's what the Bible calls patience. It said, be followers of them who through what? Faith and patience is inherit the promises. He said, now patience means that whatever work of faith you started doing, you must continue doing it. It is he that endures to the end that will be saved. Nobody does a single act with God and is saved. You hear what I said? If you heard this, say amen. Nobody, let me say it again, does a single act with God and is saved. It is he that does what? Endures to the end. If you want to start giving, please. He said, God is not unrighteous so as to forget your work in that you minister to the saints and you are still ministering. Hebrews 6:10. It is a continual ministration that brings you, all right, fruit with God. It's not a single act. You can't come to the altar today and say, God, I give this money towards my new house. You don't have the right to do that. If you need a house, call your wife. Call a friend that loves you. Call your pastor who's your friend. Join hands and say, pray. Let us pray together. Let us ask God for a new house. I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come as your children. Based on the power of the blood of Jesus, I'm putting many words to it now, we have been reconciled with you. We can enter boldly, all right, into the throne of grace. We can come into your presence without any condemnation in our hearts. Therefore, because we understand all these things, we have come to ask you for what we need. Therefore, we receive it from your hands in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's give a seat to us. It's not necessary. It is not. When do I sow my seed? Continually. Listen to me. I read something from Solomon to explain something to you. It's not everything you ask God for. Alright? That's even pleasing to him. So the safest way, I said last time, is to do good works continually. There's not everything you need that you even recognize. Most of the things you recognize are the things you want. The ones you really need, a lot of them you don't recognize it. That is a matter of fact. So how do you get that which you need? You know, somebody sent me some offering some time ago, personal one, just paid money to my account, and I found out, and I sent a fellow a text. I said, and because this fellow, this is not the first time. You know, it's a continual thing, all right, periodically. I'll just one day maybe check my account and see the name and say, oh, so I'll call the person. You know, now, listen to this. A scripture came to my head. I said, oh, this is what we have been teaching, Philippians chapter 4. You know what he said? He said, once and again, you have sent gifts for my necessity. He said, not that I desire a gift, but I seek fruits that will accrue to your account. He said, here and there, you were the only one that sent gifts to me. He said, therefore, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. They sent to his necessity, not to their necessity. Let me say it again. It is wrong teaching. It may not be popular, but it is wrong teaching. What I'm saying may not be what every pastor wants to hear, but it is wrong teaching. For you to say that for me to get from God, I will consciously give first. No. But it's sound doctrine to teach to believers, and we're going to talk about how to give. Not today, because our time is going, all right? It is sound doctrine to teach Christians how to give continually. How to give what? Continually. Christians love impulsive giving. And that is because it's actually cheap and simple. You think, you know, people say, I gave a dangerous seed. It's a cheap way. It is a lazy way. I mean, if you're in distress, you will do anything. The real faithful person is somebody who has made a habit of certain issues. Are you getting my point? For you to earn every month and apportion your money. Listen, somebody, you know, I don't know how many of you have read this book. Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. When I first wrote my little book here on purpose, somebody said, have you read Rick Warren's The Purpose-Driven Life? I said, no, I never even seen the book or heard of it. So later on, I got the book. I read a bit of it, but I didn't read much of it. Then one day, one of my colleagues said, have you read this book? I said, a bit. He said, read it. It's a good book. So I ordered it. I got it 2 days ago. I started reading it. During the night, I read it. Rick Warren said something. He said, how you handle life depends on what you see life to be. If you see life as a race, you're always in a hurry. Buru, buru, buru. But when he said, I said, me, I see life as an assignment. And then next line, he said, look, if you see it as an assignment, I said, oh God, I'm in the spirit. Anyway, I've talked so much about it. The first series I did, once this ministry started here, is titled Life on Assignment, Man on Assignment. That is, when you see life as an assignment, there's a way you handle every day. Somebody brought paper to me today in the office, said, houses for sale. I saw the first one, 24 million. The second one, 25 million. The third one, 18 million. I folded the paper, said, take. He said, hold it now. I said, Yoruba man, say, waiting man, no one chop. No, they sniff up. Take. He said, you can ask your bank to finance it. I said, listen to me. You want me to now become the slave of the bank? Is it wrong? I said, it is not wrong. It is not wrong. Listen, it is not wrong. I said, but the Bible says when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Then I quoted a requirement for the person who happened to be the one that told me that I must get the book. I said, requirement said that what is, how do you see life? I said, I have not seen life as a target for building houses. Therefore, I will not go to a bank to put me in distress for the next 15 years because I want to own a house that's not yielding money. I said, if you give me the loan, I will call my wife. She likes to do business. See this money. What can you do with it to bring profit? I said, without profit, I will pay any landlord in this town. And I still have remaining. I said, the time for a house will come. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. Temptation, it was not even there. When he said, with 25 million, 26 million. I said, excuse me. He said, don't you want to own a house? I said, the house I will live in. The one I'm living in right now, when the landlord was building, did he call me? Answer me now, did he call me? No. The Bible said I will live in a house that did not build. I'm fulfilling that scripture now at a particular level. The one I will live in tomorrow is being built right now. Listen, if I say this, it will make you laugh. Somebody is killing himself doing business now. He is not sleeping because he's a wicked man. So I might gather money, build a house for 500 million and sell it to me for five. Listen, it's a spiritual, oh God, I don't have time to go into this. It's a spiritual assignment. God said, no. He said, to the wicked man, God has given the task of gathering and collecting that he might give to him who is pleasing in God's sight. Each person has an assignment for a particular day. I'm going to explain something, all of these things. So, the way you see life, all right? Requirement said, is what decides how you handle issues. Let's get back to money matters. The way you see life, all right, is what decides how you handle your money. If you see, listen, God has given me revelation in recent times. Because I'm preparing for our spiritual empowerment. What is it again? See it. Our spiritual empowerment. Okay, spiritual economic empowerment and development strategies. Well, there's a seminar we're having beginning next year, all right? It's called Spiritual Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. It speaks from the national one, which is National Economic Empowerment and Development Strategies. You need to be there. You need to hear the things. I want to teach the scriptures, what God says about stability in economic issues. How to build yourself up to become a stable person financially. How to obey God into prosperity, not to give a fast offering. Your money is broken up into three levels. I will explain that one again. There is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. Among seed for sower, there are two kinds of seed. There's spiritual seed, there's physical seed. Restore captivity, O God, as streams within the desert. He said, those that sow in tears shall reap with joy. He that goes forth weeping, bring his bag of seed. Precious seed shall doubtless again return with rejoicing, carrying his harvest with him. Psalm 126. Listen to me. That seed he was talking about there was physical seed. There's what I call the priestly corner of life. I'll develop all of these things. Come back in January. We're going to discuss that. Preparing for that particular one, see, I've been meditating and, you know, praying and reading and all of that. One of the things I've been investigating is, where does money come from? I'll discuss that one then. Where does money come from? Have you ever thought about it? It doesn't come from minting and printing corporation of Nigeria. That's not really money. Paper that you have in your pocket, all right, is a representation of money. This is paper. But I know, all right, because legal tender, that if I take this money to give me what you call ₦1,000 value in goods and services. So the question is, where does goods and services, or where do goods and services come from? That is actually what money is, not the paper. Cut a long story short, I found that at the end of the day, it comes from two places. Having meditated and thought about it, and talked to people who reason, and we said it comes from two places. Number one, the soil. Number two, the sun. That's all. Every material thing on this earth, all right, goods now comes from the sun and then the soil. The other one comes from people's minds, services. Now, I'm bringing out something. All these things from people's minds, from the earth, and from the sun. Who gave all of them to us? It is what? God. Job said, Elihu was talking to Job. He said, no one says, where is God, my maker? Who makes us wiser than the beasts of the field and the birds of the air? The wisdom to innovate, to make soft, to write software, to design engines. The wisdom to design buildings with an architect. The wisdom, all right, to build roads. The wisdom to take what God has taken, ordinary earth, take it into a machine, call it, you have taken iron ore, refine it, do this, and come out with pure iron, and then put carbon in it and come out with steel. It is a gift of God. I'm bringing out something. Every time I see food, I have realized that this food is not a result of my labor. It's a gift of what? God. Therefore, that's how I see money. Any money God passes into your hands, it has a purpose. So continually, this is what I do. I share the money according to purpose. It's in three levels. It said there is seed for the sower and there's bread for food. Bread for food is the one you use to pay your house rent, wear clothes, buy food that you eat, make yourself happy, buy fuel, do things for yourself. Then there's seed for the sower, which has two levels to it. There's spiritual seed in which you give out to other people. You give to the fatherless, you give to the widow, you give to a man of God, you go to the work of the ministry, you give to charity, you give out. And then there is physical seed in which you invest in your business. You invest in your talent. A lot of people go around looking for, I have an idea, invest in it. Listen to me. Nobody will invest in your idea. Listen. The first person that will invest in your idea is yourself. Stop driving a fine car to go and meet people to invest in your idea. What's wrong with selling the car? It's obvious you don't believe in it. Because if you really believe in the idea, you will want to own everything. If you drop a fine car to my office, you are looking for, assuming I'm a financier, you are looking for 10 million for a business, look at your car. Look at it. I won't give you. If you really need to take that car, go and give it to one bank. Tell them this is collateral. Give me money. Obviously, you don't believe in your idea. I'm bringing out something. Seed for the sower. Part of it is to invest in your own business. You know how to make clothes. Oh boy, go and buy a machine. Buy books. Stop trying to reinvent the wheel. Invest your money in things that you will learn. Get my point. You say, I'm very good in this. Go and go. It's a business of internet. If you are doing business, you don't have steady internet connection, you decrease for head. I'm serious. Even if it's not in your house, you should be in a cyber cafe close by. Because all this information that you are looking for, it's there. Look, it's there on the internet. It's there. It's there. Free. I always give an example. When I was tired doing our messages digitally, somebody told me about one brother, or let me say one man, who has some software that I could use. When I talked to him, he talked about all kinds of rubbish. I said, listen, why am I even talking to this guy? I walked across to Jill Online. I still remember the password, the keywords I typed in. Audio, edit, MP3. Those, I think about three or four passwords, keywords, into Google search. Enter. Boom! Few seconds, the whole thing popped up. And the first on the line says www.nch.com.au. I downloaded WavePad, which we still use till today, and I have taught multitudes of pastors on how to use it. Free of charge. Okay, I added free download, audio, edit, MP3. Yes, I just put it like that. Free download. People are begging you to use it. What I'm going to explain is this. Part of seed for the sower is that you should take money and invest in your own ideas. A lot of, listen, let me tell you something. This is for the sower thing. No matter how much offering a farmer gives, if planting season comes, he doesn't get into the farm and put corn on the ground. I hope you know that his blessing will just be hanging in heaven. Say, God, give me food. He said, go and plant. Now, you're not a farmer. I have given because I have collected. No problem. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Let me just summarize this I'm trying to say today before we go into the next topic, which already I've already started. All right? Maybe I should just go into that. The matter of how to give to God. What have I summarized so far? I said, let me say it categorically again. God has not given you or me the wisdom to know what a particular seed will produce so that we can sow towards it. We don't have it. Are you getting my point? What he says is to continually do good. I said, it is not right for you to say you want to tap grace from a man of God, therefore you give an offering to him. It is sorcery. You are trying to dictate your own inheritance from God. You can't do that. There are two reasons you give to a man of God. We'll come back to that later. All right? Because he has blessed you, or because he's just a man of God and you believe that he is. You don't give to him because you want to tap his grace. It is not right. You don't give because you want to collect something from God. It is a labor of selfishness which does not have any reward with God. If you want to give, you give as a labor of love, as a work of faith, or because of your hope. Hope, let me explain what that means. Let me quickly explain that. When we talk about hope, hope means I have such a great expectation. I will even talk more about love and faith and faith and hope. Because I have such a great expectation of what my tomorrow will be like, I'm not holding on to what I have today. I hope you get my point. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. Let me explain it in simple terms. Let us assume, all right, that, my wife, yes. Assume my wife traveled. I know my wife likes to dress me up very nicely. Everything I'm wearing, apart from these shoes, my wife bought without discussing with me. Every single thing. Okay, apart from this belt. I buy this one before I marry him. The shoes, we went to buy it together. The socks, just appeared one day. Like 10 pairs of socks, take, drop them from my drawer. What is your old socks? This shirt, I think it will fit you. The trousers, you should have some new trousers. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let us assume now my wife traveled. And I begin some shirts where I know they use for some time. And I know my wife, she likes to dress me up. She traveled recently and then she called me one day. I saw this shoe, will you like it? I said, baby, I don't need another pair of shoes. I will buy it all the same. And she bought the shoes. If I wanted to wear it today, you know that the color not too much the thing where I wear. No, I'm telling you the truth. Oh, I saw this shirt. It will just fit you. I saw this suit. I said, did you buy 54? He said, you trust now. I must buy a size 54. Because, no, really, it's true. Now, I'm trying to figure out something. So let us assume now, you come to my house. All right? He said, okay, this is your shirt, fine. I said, you like it? And he said, can I have it? I know my wife is coming back tomorrow. I look, I said, take it, you can have it. I've used my portion. And I'll teach you that one again. Don't ever use anything till everything is dead. I'm telling you the truth. The grace I'm praying to God for is to start giving out my cars once I've used them for a while. Because you grow in grace. Go and check the scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3. You grow in grace. Read from 17, 18. You grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. I have already reached the level that one with clothes that long ago. Everything that is... I don't mean that it's bad. I can just look one shirt. This shirt. When did I wear you, sir? What are you doing in my drawer, in my wardrobe? I remove it. Somebody else will wear you. If I'm giving out things... No, this is a matter of fact. I'm using it to teach you, not to say I'm a nice guy. Just using to teach you principles. Is that okay? As a rule, amongst the things I'm giving, I must choose one I was wearing. Maybe I wore it yesterday. That is, it's still in active service. Yes, and include it. Because it's called the principle of gleaning. You don't eat everything. Are you, now only you did. There's one joke. I'm going to tell you the joke to make you laugh. I read it long ago, one of these magazines. I can't remember which of these comedy magazines does this. They show one guy running. You know what he was doing? He was chasing his dog. He said, Bingo, bring that bone back. Bingo said, who's I? I will just sit down here, go take Oboju, chop my own portion. You hear what I said? Bingo said, no, go sit down here, you go take Oboju, chop my portion. You don't chop the meat, the bone on my own. So Bingo grabbed the bone from the guy and took off. Now so life be. There are things that are your portion. If they give you meat, you're not supposed to eat every part of it. We will discuss some of this in detail. You cut the meat into different parts. Eat your portion. Give somebody else his portion. Give the other person his or her portion. Then take the bone and give to Bingo. Oh God, I have seen stingy people. There's one man. We used to bet that no, go collect them back. Let me say, I went to go for an interview once. It's a friend to a cousin of mine. Big man. Big man, you know. I mean, those days when I had to work a whole month begging with praying and fasting to get 5,500 naira. He was buying cars for 1.3 million naira to do business. For information, I was a post-NYSC medical doctor. So don't think that I was just begging, hustling. No. Post-NYSC, the salary in a month I earned was 5,500 bucks. He had millions of naira to do business. And I was a bank manager. I was going for interview. I traveled there. I didn't know the interview would come up so fast. So I said, I'll need a suit to wear. So my cousin just said, no problem. I'll ask my friend, the manager. He will have a lot of suits he's not using again. So true. They bring out one old suit. I collect them. I use that. So in the house, he said, this man is a very stingy man. He'll collect his suit back. I said, how bad? Is he still wearing this? This way he take do NYSC. I said, it's not possible. So it became betting. Okay, 10 naira if he collects it back. That kind of thing. To my amazement, when we return the suit, I started to hear, did it fit you? I said, yes, you can have that one. Now, like, the guy collected the suit by hanging back for wardrobe. I said, Olu, wow. My cousin said, if you enter a house, cloths that he used as a used copper, this is a millionaire I'm talking about. I'm not talking about millionaire of today. You know, when Naira was exchanging for 40, when dollar was 40 Naira, that's the time I'm telling you about. Just immediately after June 12th. I said, my God, I never saw a man as stingy as this. What am I trying to explain? It is wrong for you to use something and finish using it. Let me tell you the divine principle. Oh, God. God will bless you to a level. Listen to this. It's almost prophetic what I'm saying. If you believe it, it will come to pass in your life. This is what I want to say. God will bless you to a level. You will park out of a 6-bedroom duplex. It's yours because you have built another one. And they will say, rent this one house out. They say, why should I rent it out? This guy does not have a house. You give him the key. Say, that house is yours. And you go to the next one. You know why? Because you have come to understand that it is God that gave me the house. I told you, that's the grace I'm praying for. In fact, actually, I have reached that level in Jesus' name. That I finish using the car and say, okay, let me sell this one and add the money to buy another one. No, that's a prayer. You know, life, I told you, is stage by stage. The house one, I have to have a house first before I start that kind of thing, right? But one day I will get there too. Yes, it's not everything. It's just, you use this computer and you say, okay, let me sell it and add money and buy another one. Listen, my friend, give it to somebody now. One day I went to market. That time I was driving a Jetta. Actually, my wife used to drive the car then. One day she came home. He said, this tire, it's the second time it's embarrassing me. Next time this tire goes flat, I will leave the car there. I will take a bike and go away. I didn't have much money. In fact, the money I used to buy those 4 tires that time for the Jetta, I had planned to use it to buy a CTL decoder so that I watch a cable in my house. I didn't have. So when my wife complained like that, next day, I walked down to, what do you call this place? Camp. I want to buy a tire. Give me 4 tires. We priced it and I bought 4 tires. I bought 4 brand new tires. 4 brand new tires. Very good quality. Michelin, all of them. MXT. I remember very well. My first time I bought an MXT. The tire I bought before that was Dunlop. And I put it, they changed the tires for me. So the boy said, how much you want to sell these ones? I said, which one? He said, the old ones. I said, oh boy, and that kind of thing, they make person die young. I know they sell. There was one man who was using one old car. They used to do those small vehicles. They took do tags, you know, the old vehicle. He didn't have money to change the tires in his old tags. And he had admired my tire one day, the tire that I went to change. And so, guy, that he wanted to change it to let me know. Next day, I just drove down to where he was. Okay, how now? Here are the tires. He wanted to know when I would change them. I just packed the 4 tires, dumped them on the floor, locked my boot, greeted him. He said, oh, God bless you. Listen, those God bless yous, they are the reasons why you will prosper in life. Yeah. I told the guy in the market, I said, hey, I know they said that kind of thing. Listen, even if I don't have anybody to dash, I will dash the organizer. Let him sell it for 500 naira or whatever price he wants to sell it. Let him. I will not sell it and put the money in my pocket. You want me to choke? No, I don't want to choke. I ain't going to sell nothing. What? God go looking for heaven self, slap you for head. Say, you're not ashamed of yourself? It's in the scriptures. It's called the principle of gleaning. What did I call it? Gleaning. What? Can you remember the story of Ruth? When you get home, go and research. Remember the story of Ruth? Do you remember how Ruth met Boaz? Naomi had come back with Ruth, her daughter-in-law from the land of Moab. Now, to resettle Naomi, now, before they even talk about resettling Ruth, how do we get food to eat? He said, go and glean. What do they mean by gleaning? The law in the scriptures was this. If you are harvesting, I'm not talking about advice, it was a law. God gave Moses to give them as a law. When you are harvesting, are you following me? Once you pass row A, it is forbidden you go back to it. And you are harvesting wheat. You know it will fall down. Because if you fall, it's not your own again. So you were harvesting, it was forbidden that you turned back. God didn't like combined harvesters. God harvested everything. It was not agreed. As you were cutting, the ones that fell down, you did not touch. Then secondly, anyone that's growing down the boundary, near the boundary of your land, you don't harvest. You harvested the center. The one at the edges, you don't touch. Then once you pass one particular row, you don't come over that row again. So a lot, oh God, I will teach you what I call the priestly corner of life. God's order appears wasteful to Accenture or PricewaterhouseCoopers, all these accountants and planners. God appears wasteful to them. You have to learn how to waste as a believer. I'll tell you what I mean by waste. There's prudence, then there's spiritual wastage, which is necessary for your success in life. Why did God say they should do like that? He said that one is for those who don't have farm. That one is for those who don't have house. For the orphan, for the widow, for people like Ruth and Naomi, who have just arrived and they don't have anything. So you harvest, you don't finish it. So then, people like Ruth will come. They will put a distance between them and the harvesters. And after the harvesters have passed, they will go over the same place and be picking everything that fell down. If you remember, Naomi said, let's be careful because there are wicked souls everywhere. Some people used to take advantage of them because they were poor people. So Naomi told Ruth, only go to, he said, go to and glean in the farm of that man, Boaz, a very kind person. And when Boaz saw that Naomi was, Ruth was gleaning there, he instructed his harvesters. He said, if you read King James, he said, drop handfuls of purpose. What it means is that deliberately drop wheat behind as you're harvesting. As you're harvesting, they will deliberately drop it. Just look, say, where should they? Should they your back? Oh, yeah, drop, drop. No wonder Boaz was rich in the first place. No wonder everybody went to his farm to go and glean. He instructed his men, you don't treat them unkindly. And if it is Ruth, deliberately drop. As you're harvesting, you go drop. Just jump over that one. Call the next one, drop off on the ground, jump over that. It's the principle of gleaning. Listen, I'll get to it. How to give to God. Maybe next time we'll come back, we'll start talking about how to give to God. A lot of us as Christians, the only time we know how to give is Abraham's blessings are mine. Down to the front. Hey, Abraham, isn't that? It's only that offering basket where God is in. Sometimes God will be beside you, you'll pass him. God is inside you have a pair of shoes at home. God is inside that shoe. That is like, you have not worn it in the last 2 months, which is proof to you that you don't need it. There are those that wear only one pair of shoes every day. You know, for people, they will go and carry that offering and say, this shoe, I want to give an offering to God. You see, there's no altar these days, so I hope you know. I hope you know there's no church that has an altar. What we call altar in church is just stage, podium. The correct word is what? Podium. And this is a lectern, a pulpit, just a place to put your Bible and your book and this modern day, your computer. God is not more here than he is down here or down on the road. God is everywhere. If you only give in church and you never give elsewhere, obviously you're only giving to yourself. Because they told you that, you know, there's a joke I've heard. Any giving you give outside doesn't carry blessing. It's only the one you give to a man of God because he's the one that has the power to bless you. Because the Bible says the lesser is blessed by the greater. Who told you I am greater than you? Is it because I'm preaching? There are men greater than me that sit down to hear me preach. Except that they are not preachers. There's an anointing upon an entrepreneur. You don't know that. Each man has to be faithful in what God called him to do. There are people that are musicians, and they are greater than a lot of pastors you know. Forget that one. It is God that blesses every one of us. Do you get my point? I'll explain principles to you. When we're talking about people being greater, it depends in which line. Your father is greater than you. No matter the amount of money you have, he's greater than you. If I founded you in the faith with the teaching of the word of God, then in that land I'm greater than you. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Listen, if you work in an office, heavily anointed as a young man of God, but you work in your bank, listen to me, your manager is greater than you. Do you understand? He can bless you in banking profession. He can give you a better job. He can give you appraisal. I say, this is a good man. The lesser is being blessed by the greater. You are getting the point. God is everywhere. Let me close because I think God has given me good time so I can close. Next time I'll continue to talk on how to give to God. But I hope you've gotten my point today. You've gotten my point. The real seed that brings real harvest is sown out of love, out of faith. I was even explaining something and I digressed. Because of my expectation, when God has blessed me so much, I know that my wife is going to arrive and I won't need these things. It's called a hope. So I tell you, you can have it. Do you get my point? I said, you can have it because I know another one is coming. And that was the third way by which the widow of Zarephath gave to Elijah. Because Elijah said, for thus says the Lord. He said, go and make for me first. And sir, did you not hear that I said, I have only one left? He said, relax. Thus says the Lord. That thing will never finish. She gave because Elijah spoke that it will never finish. It was a steadfastness of hope. I told you three ways by which that woman gave to Elijah. I hope you have gotten my point. These are the things that make you a cheerful giver. You do good works continually, and they have a reward. They have the harvest, except that God does not tell you ahead of time what the harvest is. And if you can identify anything that you need, you are not required to give towards it. You are requested to go and do what? Ask. And next time I'll develop it further. Seed for the sower, bread for food. How to give to God. I hope you've gotten my point.